As you know, Ezekiel was the prophet who spoke to those Israelites who were in bondage in the land of Babylon. For 70 years, God's people were in Babylon as slaves to the Babylonian kingdom and the kingdom which succeeded it. It was a 500-mile journey from the land of Palestine or the land of Canaan to the land of bondage in Babylon. And of course, they took this journey, the thousands of people, by foot. As they were journeying, Ezekiel the prophet stumbled across the most amazing thing you can imagine. The people, get the picture now, with their sandals, maybe barefoot, walking across the barren deserts and the rocky wilderness from the land of Canaan to the land of Babylon. Thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people. Suddenly Ezekiel's eyes focused on something perhaps he had never seen before and something I've never seen. He saw a little baby. Not a baby of a few days or a few weeks, but a baby that had just been born maybe a few hours before. The Bible says that baby was lying perhaps beside the road. He had not been cared for since his birth. He had been forsaken completely by parents who did not want him. The Bible says that his navel cord had not been cut properly. And there the little baby is, lying helpless and unwanted beside the road. His navel cord still not completely severed. The Bible says he was not washed, still had on him the garments of birth, had not been cleansed since he was born. The Bible says he had not been salted. Now the Easterners did and often still do salt a baby when he's born. They actually rub salt over the body of the baby. There's something of a purifying agency they feel that salt has that helps the baby in his early hours. This baby had not been salted. This baby has not one bit of clothing on. And he's lying in an open field. Now picture it. They walk by and Ezekiel's eyes focus on a little baby. Navel cord still not cut. Still not washed after birth. Still has not been salted. Naked. The Bible says that he was trampled upon. Some of the feet of the people had actually stepped on this little newborn child until the Bible says he was bleeding. Just a little unwanted baby. Dirty, bleeding, naked, unwanted, forsaken. Ezekiel stopped, picked up the little baby, washed it, salted it, clothed it, and nurtured it to health. In picturing salvation and the condition prevailing in the person who's not saved before he comes to Christ, Ezekiel takes this little baby found beside the trail on the way to Babylon and pictures with that little baby the condition of the natural man. The unconverted man may be the president of a great bank somewhere, but he's naked and destitute and bloody and unsalted and unclothed in the sight of God. The unconverted man may wear silks and satins, but he's still in the sight of God, naked and destitute and filthy and bloody and unclothed. The unconverted man may make Hollywood movies and may make millions by his acting prowess, but in the sight of God, he's naked and bloody and dirty and forsaken. The unconverted man may sit in the Senate chambers, but in the sight of God, he's naked and dirty and unsalted and unwashed. The unconverted man may be in the White House, but in the sight of God, he's naked and unsalted and dirty and forsaken. And Ezekiel looked at that little baby and he said, "That little baby is a picture of me before I was saved. A picture of me naked before God. A picture of me dirty in my sins. A picture of me forsaken, unloved, uncared for, bloody, and trampled on. That's my picture. And then he pictures salvation as what he did to that little baby. He says, I was like that baby. I was forsaken. I was like that baby. I was unloved. I was like that baby. I was filthy. I was like that baby. I was unwashed. I was like that baby. I was trampled. I was like that baby in an open field. This morning, you may be a person of possession or dignity or stature or standing, but if you're not saved, God sees you as naked and filthy and in need of cleansing and loving. And so Ezekiel said, I was like that. I recall in Texas, and if I call the name of the harpy, I think you'd remember the lady, although I'm sure you do not know the story. A little lady in our church in Texas, where Brother Bill and I served together for a couple of years. I served there almost 7 years, and he was there for 2 years with me. Called me to her house one day. She said, Brother Howells, I want to tell you a story. By the way, she's one of the finest ladies we had, teacher in our Sunday school. My mother, she said, did not want me. My mother is an alcoholic, and she still was the last I knew. My mother was an alcoholic. When she became pregnant, she did not want the baby. She detested the thought of giving birth to a baby. When my mother was born, when I was born, my mother took me and took my body and placed it in a haystack and covered me up with hay in a haystack. And she said, there I was. My mother tried to murder me. Can you imagine? My mother thought she had killed me. She thought she would suffocate me in that haystack. But she said, there I was, just born in the haystack. Someone came by and heard a faint cry from that haystack. They knew that was the cry of a baby. And so they began to dig through the hay and into the haystack. And someone discovered me in that haystack and took me and washed me and clothed me and nurtured me. And that person has reared me for all of my life. Now she said, Brother Hiles, she said, where does that put me? I know my mother. My mother knows the story. My mother's an alcoholic today. Where does that put me? And I said, that puts you as good as it puts me. For all of us were that way. There's nothing good about any of us. There's nothing about us that causes us to deserve anything at all. Brother Harvey dedicated the poem to me the book to me, and I read it just this morning. And I thought, nobody deserves that. Nobody deserves that. You say, you're Dr. Jack Hiles. I'm a dirty sinner that ought to be in hell. That's what I am. You say, you're pastor of the largest Sunday school in the world. I'm a dirty, hell-bound sinner that Jesus came and found one day and made whatever I am, made it out of me. None of us is good. And none of us has a right to criticize the rest of us. And none of us has a right to sit in judgment. And none of us has a right to be proud. Whatever looks God has given you, it's by His grace. And whatever wealth God has given you, it's by His grace. And whatever talent God has given you, it's by His grace. And whatever goodness you have is by the grace of God. The honest, simple truth is, every one of us could picture ourselves like Ezekiel pictured himself, as a dirty, unkempt, unwanted, filthy, bloody little child, forsaken, with nobody to love him. But thank God, Jesus passed by. Jesus passed by. Yeah, like Ezekiel pictured the Lord Jesus Christ, Ezekiel passed by. Many hundreds of feet had stomped over that little baby that day. Many eyes had cast themselves on that little baby that day and passed by with no compassion. Many people had heard the cry of that little baby that day and heard the faint cry of help, though it could not say help, it meant help, and had passed by. But finally somebody passed by who cared, and that somebody was Ezekiel. Ezekiel looked down, and suddenly compassion poured out toward that little baby who had no name, who would never know his parents, and whose body was just still completely unclean and unclothed, and whose navel cord was not yet cut properly. And Ezekiel's heart of compassion poured out toward that baby. And Ezekiel said, I want to cleanse that baby. I want to make something out of that baby. And thank God, that's exactly what God wants to do to you today. I'm talking to some little child way up in primary one this morning, or up in junior one. You folks don't know what these kids go through. I'm talking to someone this morning. Your mom and dad may not care much about you. Your dad may try to kick you out of the house. And your mom may not act like she doesn't want you. And you may not be wanted. You may run the streets. I saw last night three or four little boys about 12 or 13, 10 or 12 years of age walking, running around the streets at 11 o'clock last night. And I stopped and I said to one or two of them, I said, "Fellas, what are you doing out this time of the night?" And one fellow said, "Who cares what we do?" And I said, "Son, I care. I said, you may not be loved by anybody else, but I love you because you're a human being. And I said, God loves you. And God wants you to do something more than run the streets like a little vagabond at 11 and 12 o'clock at night. And God does love you today. You might be the least loved person in this room, but God loves you. You might be the ugliest person in this room, but God loves you. You might be the poorest little urchin in this room, but God loves you." I recall, and I love to tell about it and think about it, when I first went to a city church the very first time, a barefooted little boy with khaki trousers on with patches in the knees and a T-shirt on, and a little Sunday school superintendent, God bless her, she put me on her knee. And little boys and girls, all the little boys had on shirts and ties, and little girls had on pretty dresses and skirts and blouses. And I was so embarrassed as a five-year-old boy. I couldn't afford shoes, and I couldn't afford a good pair of trousers. I didn't have a shirt and tie, just had a T-shirt on. And I was so embarrassed, and I can recall how I tried to hide my feet. And the superintendent put me on her knee, and she looked at me, and she said, "Jackie, boy, did you know Jesus loves you?" And I looked up at her and I said, "Does he love me as much as he loves all the other little boys and girls and the boys that have shirts and ties and all the kids that have shoes?" And that superintendent had a teardrop on my little brow as she said, "Jackie boy, he may love you more than loves anybody in this room." And oh, the glory of God filled my soul that day. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Never forget it. God loves you. Never forget it. God loves you, little child. Never forget it. God loves you, teenager. The one on dope last night. The one who was in this building last night. And you saw the riot. You were a part of it. You were at the Rock Festival. You shouldn't have been here, but you were here. And then you wondered, does anybody care? Yes, Jesus cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with your grief. When the days grow weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. He loves you, dear aged lady or man this morning, whose feet move with an unsure step today, whose shoulders are drooped and whose brow is furrowed and whose face is wrinkled and whose future seems like it's so short. God loves you. God loves you. Never forget it. God loves you. Never get used to it. God loves you. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the sky of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry, or could the whole contain the scroll, though stretched from sky to sky? Oh, fallen man in sin, God loves you. Oh, fallen scarlet woman, God loves you. Oh, poor young person on dope, God loves you. Oh, poor unloved child, God loves you. Yes, he does. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me. God loves you. And this little lady, she said, "Brother Hiles," she said, I don't feel like everybody else. She said, "My mother put me in a haystack. I don't feel like everybody else." She said, "Brother Hiles," she said, "I never slept in a baby bed. I didn't have a mother to cradle me in her arms at the hospital. I didn't even have a name for days. Nobody knew my... I don't even know my birthday." I said, "Bless God, God knows your birthday. God knows your name, and God saw you there." And as Ezekiel passed by and saw that little baby with his navel cord still not completely fixed and with his little body in the liquid and fluid of birth and no salt on him and no clothes on him, Ezekiel's heart went out to him. And even so does the heart of God go out to you today. God wants to make something of you. The other morning on the radio broadcast, I told that story that you've heard so many times, but it so aptly illustrates what I'm trying to say this morning. Over here in Chicago, there's a place where all the nuts come to speak. I mean, the communist and Jim Vineyard and all the other nuts preach on the street, you know. And one time there was a nut there. He was an atheist, and he had a little crowd around him. And so he was preaching, no God, no Bible. He disproved the existence of God to his own satisfaction and made light of Jesus and made light of the existence of a God. And finally he said, I'll prove there's no God. I'll prove it. You listen to me. He looked up to heaven and said, hey, God, hey, if you're there, strike me dead. Strike me dead. I dare you to strike me dead. Of course, God didn't. He looked out to the crowd of people that gathered around and said, yeah, now where is your God? I told him to strike me dead. Why didn't he do it? Where is your God? Who wants to say something now? There was a Moody Bible Institute student in the crowd who'd wandered by that day. That Moody Bible Institute student, a very sweet, dedicated Christian, stood up to the little podium there and said, I'd like to say a few words. He said, this morning as I was walking down to this place, I was walking down one of the busy streets in Chicago and walked by an alley. a little kid ran out about that high. He had on ragged clothes and dirty clothes, and his hair was long and all tousled, and his face was dirty, and his clothes were filthy, and he was barefooted. And the little kid jumped out and looked up at me and said, hey, mister, how about a fight? Let's go to it. Let's have a fight. Are you afraid to fight me? And I said, son, I don't want to fight you. Yeah, you're scared. Yeah, don't you? Why don't you fight? And it's called, put him up. Let's have a fight. And the moody student said, I looked at the kid and I said, son, I don't want to fight you. I'll tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to take you down, buy you some shoes and put them on your feet. I'd like to take you to a barber shop and get your hair cut. I'd like to get some good clothes and put them on you, and I'd like to give you a warm bath. I'd like to hug you and adopt you as my own boy. That's what I'd like to do. I don't want to fight you, son. I could whip you. I could reach out, just take one poke and knock you down. I don't want to do that. I want to love you and clothe you and feed you and give you what you need. And that moody student began to cry and looked at this atheist and said, oh, listen to me, sir. God doesn't want to kill you. God gave his son to die for you on the cross. God loves you. And God wants not to kill you. He wants to forgive you and put some spiritual clothes on you and spiritual shoes on your feet and give you a bath and cleanse you and make something out of you. Oh, if you just knew how much God loved you. Oh, listen, never get away from it. I, Jack Hiles, poor, born in a drunkard's home, reared in poverty, hungry during a depression time. I, who didn't have a new pair of shoes till I was way on up in a pretty good-sized kid and on the relief, we call it the PWA. God loves me! Hallelujah. And God loves you this morning. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Ezekiel takes that little baby. He holds it in his arms after he's clothed it. And he begins to dream. Here's what he dreams. He dreams of that little baby when she grows up. And they grow up so fast, don't they? Yesterday they're babies. Today they're ladies. And Ezekiel begins to dream. There's the little baby that he'd picked up off the desert sand. Now she's washed. There's a little baby whose navel cord had not even been completely severed, and now it's cared for properly. And there's that little baby girl who had been lying naked and bloody and dirty on the sand, and now she has on a nice little dress. Ezekiel holds her in his arms and cradles her in his arms, and he begins to dream all he wants to do for her. And Ezekiel pictures her as she grows up, and he says, I know what I want to do. I want to clothe her with linen and with silk. I want to buy her bracelets and necklaces. I want to wash her and anoint her with oil. I want to give her the very best food I can give her. I want to put earrings in her ears and bracelets on her wrist. I want to put a necklace around her neck. I want to put a crown upon her head. He holds her and he has all sorts of dreams as every mom and dad has when a little one comes. And then he thinks, oh, what if after I do that, She takes the bread that I've given her with which to entice wicked men. And what if after I've done that, what if she takes the jewelry I've given her with which to buy wicked men, the love of lustful, wicked whoremongers? Ezekiel looks out to his people and says, that's what God has done to you. Let me tell you something, folks. Jesus came to every single saved person here and took us when we ought to go to hell. Boy, if there's anything in the world that's an abomination in the sight of God, it's pride in the on the face and the heart of a Christian. Person says, I'll tell you, I'll get to heaven. I'm as good as anybody. You're as rotten as the devil and deserve to go to hell like all the rest of us. That's the honest truth. Well, you say, I'll join a church. That won't clip your navel cord. I'll get baptized. That won't put salt on your naked body. I'll live a good life. Nobody lives a good life. Nobody lives a good life. Nobody lives a good life. The Bible says even our goodness is like dirty, filthful menstrual rags in the sight of God Almighty. You have no goodness. He said, I'll go to heaven. I'm not bad. You are bad. The Bible says you're under your throat is like an open sepulcher, and the poison of asp is under your lips, and your feet are swift to shed blood, and your hands do wicked. There's nothing good about you. You couldn't deserve heaven if the best person in this world stood before God. He'd be a rotten, dirty sinner that is needing the grace of God, or he'd die and go to hell. Nothing good about you. It's an insult in the sight of God. Or a little old puny insignificant creature made of a few chemicals and dust to stand up and say he deserves to walk golden streets and be like God and live with God forever someday. Only hope we've got is for there to be a God of mercy and love and grace to make something out of us. Last night I called the Colston's house and asked if I could use this story. And Mrs. Colston told me that I could. All of you, most of you know K.K. Colston. That K.K., I didn't know last night, stands for Korean Kid. I didn't know that. Korean Kid. Where's K.K.? Stand up, K.K., wherever you are. Here she is over here. Thank you, K.K. One of our fine teenage girls. As lovely a girl as we have in our church. That little girl you saw stand a minute ago doesn't know who her mother is. She doesn't know the name of the mother or the father who are responsible for her coming into the world. She doesn't know what her birthday is. All she knows is that she was deserted. And somebody found her in a yard or in a field with a little bruise under her arm one day. And a serviceman named John Colston probably stumbled over her in the field. And one day this serviceman, they brought this little baby forsaken by her mother. Never know the name of her father till she gets to heaven, or the name of her mother. Never will know the body from which she came in this life. They guessed about what her birthday was. And John Colston, a serviceman in Korea, saw her. They brought her to an old folks' home because there she could find, they could take little babies like that they found and wash them and maybe clothe them and try to keep them alive. And John Colston saw her, and his heart was knitted to hers. And he said, could I have her? Now, you listen to me. You listen to me. They've taken that little baby, brought that baby all the way from Korea. She's as loved as her brother Jeffrey is. She's as pampered as he is. They put her in their own home to eat at their table as one of their own. They've adopted her. They've given her the family name. They've clothed her. They've loved her. They've taught her this book. They've put her in a gospel preaching church. They've trained her and made her the lovely young lady she is. What kind of gratitude would it be if she turned into sin? What kind of gratitude would it be if she turned her back upon John and Elaine Colston? Those who loved her when nobody loved her, fed her when nobody would feed her, found her when she was about to die as an uncared for, forsaken little baby in Korea, who brought her to another country and fed her and clothed her and loved her. How ungrateful would she be if she turned from them and turned into sin? That's exactly what you folks who are not serving God are doing today. God found you when you were as sorry as the devil. God found you when your navel card wasn't even severed. God found you when you were dirty, wallowing in your own sin and vomit. God found you when people were stomping on you and nobody cared. But then Jesus passed by. Then Jesus passed by. He looked down and he saw you in your filth, and he had a desire to cleanse you. He saw you in your forsaken condition. He had a desire to claim you. He saw you unloved, and he loved you. Listen. He asked for you. He asked for you. Then what did he do? He washed you. Not in water, not with salt, but the precious blood of Calvary. He washed you. That isn't all. He clothed you. Not with a little diaper shirt. Not with a little dress. He clothed you with his own perfect, blessed righteousness. That isn't all. He's going to take you to a new country one of these days. What kind of person is it that wouldn't love him? What kind of person, if we ever hear, KK, if we ever hear that you've gone the way of the harlot, if we ever hear that through those lovely lips there's passed alcohol, if we ever hear that those beautiful lips curl around a cigarette, if we ever hear that you take in your hand the narcotic and put in your arm the needle, if we ever hear, we'll say, how ungrateful can a person be? How ungrateful can a person be? If we ever hear, if you ever hear of a Christian person redeemed with the blood of Jesus Christ, but let the fellows have him. Don't anybody else leave. If you're a member of the family, you can leave. But let's don't listen. That person there is not the most tragic case in this building this morning. Most tragic case in this building this morning is a person that's dead in his sins and trespasses and not living for God. Now that's a beautiful picture out there. Now I'm glad if man's in help, we ought to help him. But when the physical, when the body, all of a sudden doesn't work right, or somebody passes out, we ought to say this morning, if there's one in this room who's not converted, we all ought to say, oh. Nobody criticized folks for going to him a while ago, but let somebody unconverted have someone come and say, won't you be saved? And we think that's fanatical. The honest, simple truth is God wants to make you his child today. Your body is not yours, it's his. Your hands aren't yours, they're his. Your heart isn't yours, it's his. These feet aren't yours, they're his. In God's dear name, don't turn your back on the one who loved you. Ezekiel cradles that little girl in his arms, and all the dreams. I was thinking last night, and this week, about David, Becky, and Linda, and Cindy. And I was thinking of the natural dreams that all of us have for our kids. And I realized that Becky is a pastor's wife, and David is a soul winner and a preacher. And Linda and Cindy are lovely soul winners. That isn't all I was thinking. I was thinking last night of the dreams that I've had for our kids and our church. I was thinking last night of all the kids in our church. And I told David last night, I said, son, there's something I miss very much. He said, what is it, Dad? I said, I miss since the church has gotten bigger.
and the college and the high school and the grade school and 10,000 things to do. I can't begin to get it all done. I said, the thing I miss the kids. I miss having the teenagers bounce in and out of my office when I used to have time for them. That doesn't mean I don't love you. Dreams and hopes pound in my breast for God to make our kids the best kids they can be for Jesus. And I thought of some shipwrecks. I thought of the dreams I had for one, and now she's in sin. I thought of the dream I had for a young man who's now turned his back on God. I wonder how much more the heart of God breaks into. God looked down at me and you, found us as dirty, forsaken sinners, clothed us, salted us, anointed us with oil, cleansed us, put us at his table. Don't you think the heart of God breaks in two when we don't become all that he wanted us to become? Oh, this morning we ought to look and realize that we were just dirty sinners like that baby beside the trail. Naked, with a navel cord not cut. Unsalted, unclothed. Trampled by the feet of careless and unconcerned people. But Jesus came. Loved us. Cleansed us. We ought to say, out of gratitude, only to be what he wants me to be. Every moment of every day. Yielded completely to Jesus alone every step of this pilgrim way. Just to be clay in the potter's hands, ready to do what his word commands, only to be what he wants me to be every moment of every day. This morning, if you're his child, let your heart shout, hallelujah. He found me when I was a sinner, clothed me in his own perfect righteousness. And if you're not saved this morning, matters not how far you've gone. Matters not how deep into sin you are. Matters not how dirty you are. How wicked your life is. How entangled the ravel of sin has become. It matters not. God loves you. He wants to pick you up and cleanse you and clothe you and make you his own child. And he will this morning. If you'll come to him in believing faith. Let's bow our heads for prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, bless that man that was carried out a minute ago. But bless all those others here this morning who are not ready to get carried out yet. May those of us who are saved realize there's nothing good about a one of us. Whatever clothing we have, Jesus gave it to us. Whatever ornaments we wear, Jesus gave them to us. Whatever crown covers our brow, Jesus placed it there. Whatever sandals separate our feet from the world, Jesus put them there. Whatever cleansing separation that we enjoy, Jesus did it. Help us to love him and live for him until he comes again, or until we see him. But those this morning are still lying bloody beside the road, may they come to Jesus today. God, make it so. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Listen carefully, every person, every eye is closed, every ear listening to me. I do not know if the man who was carried out fainted or had a heart attack and died. I don't know. I've seen both happen in church. But suppose suddenly, like that, you were taken. Would you be in heaven? Would you be in heaven? How many will say this morning, Brother Hiles, I know I'm saved. Thank God Jesus forgave me and clothed me. If I died this morning, I'd go to heaven, and I know it. I know it. I know it. I know it. Raise your hand, would you please, all over the building. Praise the Lord. You may drop your hands.
I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, I couldn't raise my hand, for I do not know that I'm his child, but I'm glad to hear that he loves me. I'm glad to hear that he loves me. This morning I want to know that I'm saved. I want to go to heaven. I don't know that I am, but I want to know. Brother Hiles, pray for me that I may know that I'm saved. First on the main floor, lift your hand and I'll pray for you. You don't know that you're saved. God bless you, lady. God love you. Who else? You don't know that you're saved, but you wish you did. Lift your hand on the main floor. If you were carried out this morning and the doctor said he's gone or she's gone, would you be in heaven? If you don't know that you would, but you wish you did, would you lift your hand for prayer, please? On the main floor. On the main floor. God bless you. Who else? The balcony up here on my left. The primary one, the high school two, the junior one, the junior high two, and all the adults up there. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. You don't know that you're saved, but you wish you did. Raise your hands. God bless you. In the balcony back in the back, way back away from me. If you don't know that you're saved, but you wish you did, raise your hand, please, would you? Lift your hand way up high. God bless you. I see you. God bless you. Over here on my right, the junior high one, the junior two, the high school one, the primary two. If you don't know that you're saved, but you want to be a Christian, raise your hand, would you, please, and say, pray for me. Way up high. Thank you. Who else? Yes. Who else? Yes, I see you in the junior high one. God bless you. Our Heavenly Father, I wish folks who are not saved would realize how you look at them. Like Ezekiel looked at that baby beside the road, naked, dirty. Unsalted, forsaken. But I pray and I wish that they also would look at what you want to make of them. You want to wash them, cleanse them, clothe them, feed them, put jewels on them, earrings on their ears and necklaces around the neck and a crown on the head and bracelets on the wrist. Help them to know that you love them. I pray that every one of these and others shall come down these aisles this morning saying, yes, if Jesus wants a dirty sinner like me, I'll take a righteous God like him. Now our heads are bowed. In a few moments, the choir is going to sing, All to Jesus I Surrender. When the choir sings it, if you want this morning to receive Jesus, if you're willing to say this morning, I'm not going to live without God and die without God, I'm going to become a Christian. I want you in the balcony to leave your seat and come to the nearest exit. Down the exit to the main floor. Down the aisle, we can show you how you can go to heaven when you die. If you're here on the main floor, I want you to come. Come to the nearest aisle, down to the front. We can show you how you can have your name written in heaven. Oh, this morning, you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to live on the way to hell unloved either. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Would you this morning say yes to God? Would you receive Christ as your Savior? The choir is going to sing in a minute. You leave your seat and come to the front. Say yes to God. If you want to get baptized because you've been saved, you come. If you want to join this church, you come. Father, bless the invitation. In this place where last night so much hell took place, oh, in the next 10 or 15 minutes, may a lot of heaven take place. In Jesus' name, amen.